So Interpreter took Christian by the hand again and led him into a very dark room where there sat a man in an iron cage. Now the man to look on seemed very sad. He sat with his eyes looking down to the ground, his hands folded together, and he sighed as if he would break his heart.
What means this? What art thou?
I am what I was not once.
What wast thou once?
I was once a fair and flourishing professor, both in mine own eyes and also in the eyes of others. I once was, as I thought, fair for the celestial city, and had then even joy in the thought that I should get thither.
Well, but what art thou now?
I am now a man of despair, and I'm shut up in it as in this iron cage. I cannot get out! Oh no, I cannot.
But how camest thou in this condition?
I left off to watch and be sober. I laid the reins upon the neck of my lusts. I sinned against the light of the word and the goodness of God. I have grieved the Spirit and he is gone. I tempted the devil and he has come to me. I have provoked God to anger and he has left me. I have so hardened my heart that I cannot repent.
But are there no hopes for such a man as this?
Ask him.
Is there no hope? But you must be kept in the iron cage of despair.
No, none at all.
Why? The Son of the Blessed is very pitiful.
I have crucified him to myself afresh. I have despised his person. I have despised his righteousness. I have counted his blood an unholy thing. I have done despite to the Spirit of grace. Therefore I have shut myself out of all the promises, and there now remains to me nothing but threatenings, dreadful threatenings, fearful threatenings of certain judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour me as an adversary.
For what did you bring yourself into this condition?
For the lusts, pleasures, and profits of this world, in the enjoyment of which I did then promise myself much delight. But now every one of those things also bite me, and gnaw me like a burning worm.
But canst thou not now repent and turn?
God hath denied me repentance. His word give me no encouragement to believe. Yea, himself hath shut me up in this iron cage, nor can all the men in the world let me out. Oh, eternity, eternity. How shall I grapple with the misery that I must meet with in eternity?
Let this man's misery be remembered by thee, and be an everlasting caution to thee.
Well, this is fearful. God help me to watch and be sober, and to pray that I may shun the cause of this man's misery. Sir, is it not time for me to go on my way now?
Tarry till I shall show thee one thing more, and then thou shalt go thy way.
So he took Christian by the hand again, and led him into a chamber, where there was one rising out of bed. And as he put on his raiment, he shook and trembled.
Why doth this man thus tremble?
This night, as I was in my sleep, I dreamed. And behold, the heavens grew exceedingly black. It also thundered and lightened in the most fearful wise, that it put me into an agony. So I looked into my dream, and saw the clouds rack at an unusual rate, upon which I heard a great sound of a trumpet, and saw also a man sit upon a cloud attended with the thousands of heaven. They were all in flaming fire. Also the heavens were in a burning flame. I heard then a voice saying, Arise, ye dead, and come to judgment. And with that the rocks rent, the graves opened, and the dead that were therein came forth. Some of them were exceedingly glad and looked upward, and some sought to hide themselves under the mountains. Then I saw the man that sat upon the cloud open the book, and bid the world draw near. Yet there was, by reason of a fierce flame which issued out and came from before him, a convenient distance betwixt him and them, as betwixt the judge and the prisoners at the bar. I heard it also proclaimed to them that attended on the man that sat on the cloud, Gather together the tares, the chaff, the stubble, and cast them into the burning lake. And with that the bottomless pit opened, just whereabout I stood, out of the mouth of which there came in an abundant manner smoke and coals of fire with hideous noises. It was also said to the same persons, Gather my wheat into the garner. And with that I saw many catched up and carried away into the clouds. But I was left behind. I also sought to hide myself But I could not, for the man that sat upon the cloud still kept his eye upon me. My sins also came into my mind, and my conscience did accuse me on every side. Upon this I awaked from my sleep.
But what was it that made you so afraid of this sight?
Why, I thought that the day of judgment was come, and that I was not ready for it. But this frightened me most, that the angels gathered up several and left me behind. Also the pit of hell opened her mouth, just where I stood. My conscience too afflicted me, and as I thought, the judge had always his eye upon me, showing indignation in his countenance.
Hast thou considered all these things?
Yes, and they put me in hope and fear.
Well, keep all things so in thy mind, that they may be as a goad in thy sides, to prick thee forward in the way that thou must go. The Comforter be always with thee, good Christian, to guide thee in the way that leads to the city.
Here I have seen things rare and profitable, things pleasant, dreadful, things to make me stable. In what I have begun to take in hand, then let me think on them and understand wherefore they showed me was, and let me be thankful, O good interpreter, to thee.
Now I saw in my dream that the highway up which Christian was to go was fenced on either side with a wall, and that wall is called Salvation. Up this way, therefore, did burdened Christian run, but not without great difficulty because of the load on his back. He ran thus till he came at a place somewhat ascending, and upon that place stood a cross, and a little below in the bottom a sepulchre. So I saw in my dream that just as Christian came up with the cross, his burden loosed from off his shoulders, and fell from off his back, and began to tumble, and so continued to do, till it came to the mouth of the sepulchre, where it fell in, and I saw it no more. Then was Christian glad and lightsome.
He hath given me rest by his sorrow, and life by his death.
Then he stood a while to look and wonder, for it was very surprising to him that the sight of the cross should thus ease him of his burden. Now as he stood looking and weeping, behold, three shining ones came to him, and saluted him with, Peace be to thee. So the first said to him, Thy sins be forgiven. The second stripped him of his rags, and clothed him with change of raiment. The third also set a mark in his forehead, and gave him a roll with a seal upon it, which he bid him look on as he ran, and that he should give it in at the celestial gate. Then Christian gave three leaps of joy, and went on singing.
Thus far did I come, laden with my sin, nor could aught ease the grief that I was in, till I came hither. What a place is this! Must here be the beginnings of my bliss? Must here the burden fall from off my back? Must here the strings that bound it to me crack? Blessed cross, blessed sepulchre, blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me.
I saw then in my dream that he went on thus, even until he came at a bottom, where he saw, a little out of the way, three men fast asleep, with fetters upon their heels. The name of the one was Simple, another Sloth, and the third Presumption. Christian then, seeing them lie in this case, went to them, if peradventure he might awake them.
You are like them that sleep on the top of a mast, for the Dead Sea is under you, a gulf that hath no bottom. Awake, therefore, and come away. Be willing also, and I will help you off with your irons. If he that goeth about like a roaring lion comes by, he will certainly become a prey to his teeth.
I see no danger.
Yet a little more sleep.
Every vat must stand upon his own bottom.
And so they lay down to sleep again, and Christian went on his way. Yet was he troubled to think that men in that danger should so little esteem the kindness of him that so freely offered to help them. And as he was troubled thereabout, he espied two men come tumbling over the wall, on the left hand of the narrow way, and they made up a pace to him. The name of the one was Formalist, and the name of the other, Hypocrisy.
Gentlemen, whence came you, and whither do you go?
We were born in the land of vainglory, and are going for praise to Mount Zion.
Why came you not in at the gate, which standeth at the beginning of the way? Know you not that it is written, that he that cometh not in by the door, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber?
To go to the gate for entrance is by all our countrymen counted too far about. Therefore, the usual way is to make a short cut of it, and to climb over the wall, as we have done.
But will it not be counted a trespass against the lord of the city whither we are bound, thus to violate his revealed will?
Thou needst not trouble thy head thereabout, for what we do we have custom for.
And could produce, if need were, testimony that would witness it for more than 1,000 years.
But will your practice stand a trial at law?
That custom, it being of so long a standing as above 1,000 years, would doubtless now be admitted as a thing legal by any impartial judge. And besides, if we get into the way, what's matter which way we get in?
If we are in, we are in. Thou art but in the way, who, as we perceive, came in at the gate. And we are also in the way, that came tumbling over the wall. Wherein now is thy condition better than ours?
I walk by the rule of my master. You walk by the rude workings of your fancies. You are counted thieves already by the lord of the way. Therefore I doubt you will not be found true men at the end of the way. You come in by yourselves without his direction, and you shall go out by yourselves without his mercy.
Look to thyself.
As to laws and ordinances, we doubt not, but we should as conscientiously do them as thee.
Therefore, we see not wherein thou differest from us, but by the coat that is on thy back, which was, as we trow, given thee by some of thy neighbours to hide the shame of thy nakedness.
By laws and ordinances you will not be saved, since you came not in by the door. And as for this coat that is on my back, it was given me by the lord of the place whither I go. And that, as you say, to cover my nakedness with. And I take it as a token of his kindness to me, for I had nothing but rags before. And besides, thus I comfort myself as I go. Surely, think I, when I come to the gate of the city, the lord thereof will know me for good, since I have this coat on my back, a coat that he gave me freely in the day that he stripped me of my rags. I have, moreover, a mark in my forehead, of which perhaps you have taken no notice, which one of my lord's most intimate associates fixed there in the day that my burden fell off my shoulders. I will tell you, moreover, that I had then given me a roll sealed to comfort me by reading as I go in the way. I was also bid to give it in at the celestial gate, in token of my certain going in after it. All which things I doubt you want, and want them, because you came not in at the gate.
To these things they gave him no answer, only they looked upon each other and laughed. Then I saw that they went on all, save that Christian kept before, who had no more talk but with himself, and that sometimes sighingly, and sometimes comfortably. Also, he would be often reading in the roll that one of the shining ones gave him, by which he was refreshed. I beheld then that they all went on till they came to the foot of the hill Difficulty, at the bottom of which was a spring. There was also in the same place two other ways beside that which came straight from the gate. One turned to the left hand, and the other to the right at the bottom of the hill. But the narrow way lay right up the hill, and the name of the going up the side of the hill is called Difficulty. Christian now went to the spring, and drank thereof to refresh himself, and then began to go up the hill.
The hill, though high, I covet to ascend. The difficulty will not me offend, for I perceive the way to life lies here. Come, pluck up heart, let's neither faint nor fear. Better, though difficult, the right way to go, than wrong, though easy, where the end is woe.
The other two also came to the foot of the hill, but when they saw that the hill was steep and high, and that there were two other ways to go, and supposing also that these two ways might meet again with that up which Christian went, on the other side of the hill, therefore they were resolved to go in those ways. Now the name of one of those ways was Danger, and the name of the other, Destruction. So the one took the way which is called Danger, which led him into a great wood, and the other took directly up the way to Destruction, which led him into a wide field, full of dark mountains, where he stumbled and fell, and rose no more. I looked then after Christian, to see him go up the hill, where I perceived he fell from running to going, and from going to clambering upon his hands and his knees, because of the steepness of the place. Now about the midway to the top of the hill was a pleasant arbour made by the lord of the hill for the refreshing of weary travellers. Thither therefore Christian got, where also he sat down to rest him. Then he pulled his roll out of his bosom, and read therein to his comfort. He also now began afresh to take a review of the coat or garment that was given him as he stood by the cross. Thus pleasing himself a while, he at last fell into a slumber, and thence into a fast sleep, which detained him in that place until it was almost night. and in his sleep his roll fell out of his hand. Now as he was sleeping, there came one to him and awaked him, saying, Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. And with that, Christian suddenly started up and sped on his way and went apace till he came to the top of the hill.